B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Finally, we can talk some X's and O's with our man, Ron Jaworski, who's on the line with us right now. Ron, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mark, Trey, Bob, as usual. Fantastic being with you guys, especially when it's Dallas week.
Now, I hear now that most people, it is about the Giants and it is about the Cowboys when it comes to the rivalry. But I've heard more people talk about the Giants as something that's becoming a bigger rivalry. To you, when you were playing, Jaws, was it always, you know, just focusing in on the Cowboys?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
In fact, I had Dick Vermeil on my show Wednesday night. We're out at the Downingtown Country Club. And we spent a lot of time talking about that rivalry. And quite honestly, I think Dick Vermeil had a lot to do with it in that era. You know, he came to Philly in 1976. And, you know, I came to Philadelphia in 1977. And after 1 year, to me, it was obvious that the focus of the Eagles program under Dick Vermeil in that era was the Dallas Cowboys. And he explained rightfully so because, you know, Tom Landry was their head coach. I mean, they were America's team, coined by Steve Sable over at NFL Films. I mean, they were a winning football team. And he kind of knew that if we were going to be a championship team, we had to beat the Dallas Cowboys. So he was obsessed with the Cowboys, obsessed with Tom Landry. And because of his obsession, we became obsessed, the city became obsessed, and it became Dallas Week twice a year.
It certainly seemed like that. And that's kind of, you know, what I grew up with, knowing that kind of rivalry in Philadelphia between the Eagles and the Cowboys, obviously. And then going down to Dallas as many times as I've been down there, there's that sense that they more rely on that Redskins rivalry. But the Eagles fans have only increased the venom that goes on in these games, which is just wild to me. Now, as far as I have to ask you about this report from Jacina Anderson, because it's yet another stupid report of drama in the locker room, and I hate bringing it up during Dallas week, but another person came out and basically criticized Carson Wentz's play calling, if you will, his ability to check out of a play or check down in a play. What do you make of locker room drama when there's no name on it?
It's unacceptable, you know, and I've always been a big believer, you know, you're entitled to say anything you want, but autograph it. You know, put your name on it, not, you know, unnamed source. It's all the stuff we deal with now in sports and politics. You know, people aren't willing to stand up and have a backbone and say, hey, yeah, here's what I think, here's what I believe. So they use an unnamed source to get their feelings out there. And I think it's absolutely atrocious. If you want to say something, you know, man up and say it and put your name on it.
What do you think has been the problem with this Eagles offense? We don't think it's Carson Wentz is the number one problem. We think he's far from it. But they haven't scored a point in the first quarter on the road this season, which just seems like their awful starts are only magnified on the road. What do you think has been the problem?
You know, it really is mind-boggling because, you know, you look at this team and, you know, I am still convinced this is a very talented football team. Now, they have not played up to their talent. There is absolutely no question about that. And I think your star players, you know, must begin to play better. And you said, hey, although Carson Wentz, I think, is having a very good season, you know, the bar is raised when you're given $100 million and the expectations go way up. And there comes a point where you got to put a team on your back and make those very special plays. And you know, he has to step up and begin to make those plays. He has been a slow starter. I mean, his first quarter and the Eagles' first quarter, you know, everyone in this city knows how bad they've started football games. In fact, in talking to Coach Vermeil on Wednesday, they were saying, what do you do when you get in a situation like this? You say, take the field like you're down 14-0. Create that sense of urgency in your football team, your quarterback, and your offense. So everyone has, you know, ideas that they think the Eagles should use to get started fast. But I think clearly this team is talented enough where they shouldn't have these issues in the first quarter. But they have to solve them or they're going to be in big trouble in Dallas.
Jones, do you get the feeling, and we've heard this from many callers and people we talk to around the city, that the offense is kind of vanilla and predictable and just kind of in a little bit of a bubble, you know, right now as far as how it's being run? Are you seeing that? And if so, is it because of talent, lack thereof, or because of play calling?
I do not see this being kind of a stale, uncreative offense. I don't. You know, I look at the tape, I look at the design, I see what they're trying to do. You know, sometimes it's not accomplished because the defense takes things away or mistakes are made by offensive personnel. But I at least see the design of, hey, trying to get the ball down the field, of using the screen game, of using the draw game, using, you know, the trap game, the power game, the gap running, the zone running, all the different ways that, as Trey knows, you try to move the football. There's a lot of ways to do it. And I'm not seeing a predictable style of offense. I'm just not seeing it. But if there's one thing I would like to see, it's more getting these tight ends involved early in the football games. You know, the way the wide receiving core is not getting the big plays, I think there's some opportunities from the tight ends getting the ball deeper down the field. So I think the explosive plays are going to have to come from, you know, not Sanders coming out of the backfield against man-to-man coverage. And by the way, Carson has done a great job in those situations of audibling and setting the offense up for success when he's reading that man coverage and getting Sanders matched to the linebacker. But I think the explosive plays need to come from these tight ends. We have advantages with these guys. They are excellent receivers, and they can run.
So when you say that when it comes to audibling, should it be better that they just go ahead and let him, give him a play and then allow him to just make whatever situations changes that he needs to at the line? Possibly to run like more of a no huddle type of situation?
Yeah, I think go to that speed offense, you know, like, hey, like you're in the final 2 minutes and say, all right, let's go. And sometimes what that does, you know, Trey, you and I lined up an awful long time. We know how players are. They're thinking about this stuff. You know, all that garbage, like they don't read the papers and watch the news, that they do. we know that. They know what people are saying. And all of a sudden you're in the game and you start thinking about everything. You start thinking about your job. All of a sudden if you go, hey, let's go 2 minute offense, speed offense, we're not huddling. All of a sudden things are happening really quick. They're happening really fast. All of a sudden your trigger is now, let's go, let's go, let's go. You're not thinking about your job. You're just reacting to what the defense does. I think that's the kind of thing they should do against the Cowboys.
Ron, I don't want to ask you this question. I battled with whether or not I should ask you this question, but I do feel the question I'm about to ask you is the dumbest question you'll ever be asked. All right?
Oh, no, I've been asked a lot of
questions. Oh, no, I might win a trophy here. But as I'm thinking about talking to you and people are having an issue with the quarterback, I'm not even talking about leadership. I'm just saying people that do want to criticize Carson Wentz, I think a lot of it is dismissed because you have so many receivers dropping passes, the most in the NFL. That's what Eagles receivers have done this year. Is there anything Carson Wentz can do to throw a more catchable ball, I guess? Like, I don't know. Like, I know I'm grasping at straws, and I'm sorry, Rod Jaworski.
I hear you, Mark. I hear you. You know, yeah, I'm going to throw it softer to you. Hey, I'm going to land it there nice and easy, making a long handoff. Hell, you're a damn wide receiver. You're paying a lot of damn money to catch the ball. Catch the damn football when I throw it to you.
Thank you.
I can't take that nice person approach. You're an NFL wide receiver. Every single day you're catching hundreds of footballs. You're going to that jugs machine. You're staying after practice. Catch the damn football. It's that simple. The quarterback can do nothing but put the ball on you and you're supposed to make the catch.
What do you think this does to the locker room, though, when you have this type of situation going on, especially going into a big game like this?
It's troubling. You know that. You know, you know, you get a cancer in the locker room, someone that's talking to whoever, Josina Anderson or whatever media person they are wired into, you know, that can fracture a locker room. And the guys and coaching staff figured out really quick who the guys are that are the guys that like to talk a little bit off the record. And, you know, all of a sudden you start getting strange looks from guys in the locker room. Yeah, that's the guy. That's the mole. Here's the guy talking about other players on the team. And I think it's something that Doug has to nip in the bud very quickly, or this could become infectious, and it's not good.
Ron, when it comes to this matchup, speaking with Ron Jaworski, what do you need to see from the Eagles when they take on the Cowboys on Sunday if they are going to win this game?
Yeah, I'm going to make it really simple, guys. You have to make Dak Prescott hold on to the football. You know, I think Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. He's not, he's probably a mid-tier quarterback, but he's the kind of guy, as I've watched him throughout his career thus far, if he gets his number one receiver open, he is outstanding. In other words, you know, if the offensive coordinator calls a play, and that coordinator being Kellen Moore, the young guy who's done a really good job with this team, but he's not a veteran-type play caller. So if he designs a play and calls a play and the intended receiver is open, Dak Prescott is really good. If the defense takes away that number one and forces him to go to 2, 3, and then maybe even scramble, he's a very mediocre quarterback. So I think in this game, coverage will be critical, and the pass rush must come from the down four. I don't want to see Schwartzy blitz in this game. I just don't. I don't want to see him blitz. When I break this tape down Monday, I want to see very few blitzes. This is just my opinion. And say, get the pressure with the down four, especially if Collins and Smith, their left and right tackle, are going to be out in this game. Hey, this is an opportunity. Hey, get the front four amped up. Play coverage. Keep 7, keep 8 in coverage, and make Dak hold on the football. That's when his performance drops.
Charles, we've seen the numbers that Dak is far better when Ezekiel Elliott runs for more than 75 yards. Is it that simple? Is it a case of that the run really does help set him up to play better?
Yeah, I had a guy named Wilbur Montgomery in the backfield when I
played. One of my favorite Eagles of all time.
Hey, how could he not be? And when Wilbur was healthy, I was really good. And if Wilbert wasn't out there, I wasn't as good. that ability to stick the ball out makes it easy to play quarterback. It just opens up the entire football field. When you can make a linebacker, a safety, freeze for just one step, one split second, you know, peering into the backfield to see if you're going to run the football, man, it opens up the play action, pass game. It opens up big voids in the defense. So I think, you know, when you look at Dallas, their offense, if they're going to be successful, has to run through Ezekiel Elliott, and we must stop him early in this game.
How much of a threat do you see that Cowboy defense at this point in the season?
This has probably been one of the biggest surprises to me this NFL season. They have, you know, not played up to their ability. When I was looking at rosters, you know, coming into the season, I'm saying, ooh, I mean, this Dallas team is pretty darn good. They've got players, particularly on this defensive side of the football, you know, young players that can get after it. And as the season has worn on, their defense has not played up to what I thought their expectations, at least their talent level, was. So, but you know what's going to happen Sunday night. We're going to get their best shot. They're going to be all amped up. Hey, they got absolutely embarrassed last week. They, you know, the Eagles were at a rough game, but they weren't embarrassed like the Cowboys were losing to the lowly New York Jets. So, you know what's going to happen. You know what it's like in Dallas this week. I mean, those guys are getting chewed out. They're getting ripped. They're getting shredded. You name it. It's all happened. So the Eagles will get the Dallas Cowboys' best shot. And, of course, the Eagles they're hearing it from Doug and the coaching staff this week, too, because it was an awful performance in Minneapolis last week.
Before we get your official prediction, Ron, I just got to tell you this. I got invited to play Ramblewood, I think, on the 2nd for a little golf tournament. I have my brother's 40th birthday. I can't do it. And I played it the last year. It's my favorite one, man. That's a beautiful course.
No, it is in fantastic shape. My people there have done an outstanding job. I was on the course the other day. I wasn't playing. I'm working too hard right now. But it is in great, great shape. So, hey, and by the way, here's this cool thing I do. If anyone is looking to play golf on Sunday, you go to any Ron Jaworski golf course, and $5 of your greens fee goes to Pink Roses and Teal Magnolias, which is we fight breast cancer. So we raise a lot of money. And to even cap it off, if a guy wears a dress, we donate $10 for the round to Pink Roses and Teal Magnolias. So it's kind of a fun fundraising day, and we'll raise thousands of dollars to fight breast cancer.
Wait, whoa. If I show up in a dress, you guys will donate. Wait, go ahead.
If you show up in a dress, $10 goes to fight cancer.
And do I have to play the round in a dress?
No, you don't have to play it. You have to show up.
Oh, okay.
Hey, now, if you want to, that's okay.
Yeah, I think Mark was hoping you had a different answer for
himself. I was just thinking that.
Well, we don't frown upon it.
That'd be another turn. I didn't even get $10 for that. Come on now. Ron, that's incredible. What was the charity again?
It's Pink Roses and Teal Magnolias. It's to fight breast cancer awareness. So my wife is a survivor, so it's a way that we decided to at our golf clubs to give back and raise as much money as possible. So if you're looking to play golf Sunday, go to a Ron Jaworski course and help kick ass on breast cancer.
That's right. And hey, the Eagles have the night game, Sunday Night Football. So we'll have Fred Gadelli on with us a little bit later in the show.
Oh, Freddie's my buddy. Tell him I said hey.
I absolutely will. I had the pleasure. Jamie and I both had the pleasure of working for him for about 11 years, man. It's wild. Now, official prediction for Eagles Cowboys on Sunday night.
Here is the official prediction. Eagles 30, Cowboys 28.
Oh, another close one, Ron.
Of course.
Of course. Ron Jaworski, always great talking to you, man. Thanks so much for that breakdown. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, gentlemen.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.